May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Let us quieten this morning in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous God, our beloved Heavenly Father, we have awakened to a beautiful new day of grace, mindful of the abundant blessings and gifts that you've granted unto us, your children. We have awakened with this knowledge that you have protected us through the night. You sent those holy angels to watch over us. And today, on this new day of grace, we are reminded again of the greatest blessing of all, in that you gave your only begotten Son. So through him, we have hope of everlasting life one day there in the glory of heaven. You have also gifted us with everything that is needful for this temporal journey. You have given us homes and beloved families in which we share our lives. You have dressed us and clothed us. You have given us necessary food for this journey. And so today, dear Father, we thank you for that and also pray that you would bless this day and that you would now send your word unto us as we gather together around your holy and precious word, that we might be strengthened in our begun faith. Dear Father, you have given us life. You have created us according to your holy and righteous will. You have promised to be with us until the end of our journey. And so we today pray again, dear Father, for that blessing. And that you would also, through your Holy Spirit, reveal your will, comfort us and strengthen us, break those crumbs of grace small enough that the weakest and poorest might be nourished and fed. All of this we ask in Jesus' name, and we yet pray as he is taught, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, dear travel friends, loving greetings from that congregation just a bit east of here. I thought that we would visit more readily, seeing as how we live so close, but too often it seems like days and weeks and months go by before we see each other. But believers, wherever they are gathered, greet each other with God's peace and love. This week also at the office we had that kind of a meeting, which is turning out to be more and more regular, where we were visiting with our fellow co-workers, if you will, from Finland. We were discussing around home and family needs in particular. But this work has become so mutual. It's remarkable to me how these brothers and sisters, of course, from faraway lands seem to be so close and such dear friends and travel companions in faith. God has allowed it to be so during our time. So loving greetings from there in the old country as well. Today, we are nearing the end of the church calendar year. Advent is around the corner and Christmas is coming. You children, I know, get excited as I did and actually still do when we begin to celebrate around the holiday time with friends and families. But today, 23rd Sunday after Trinity, it speaks of forgiving one another. It is such an important matter. God's kingdom is known as the kingdom of forgiveness. And we are those travelers who need forgiveness, and we also willingly forgive our brothers and sisters. I thought I would read from the 50th chapter of Genesis, from the 15th through the 21st verse of this experience that our departed brother Joseph had many years ago. The words are as follows in Jesus' name. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is to this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Amen. How did we get to this place where Joseph was meeting with his brethren? And why were his brothers begging for forgiveness? I think you children would be able to tell me even this story of what took place. At this point in life, Joseph was probably in his 30s. I don't remember exactly how old he would have been. But Joseph was a believing man. And Joseph was once a believing boy, just like we were. Joseph had 10 older brothers. So his family was probably very similar to what yours might be. And in your families, if you have 10 brothers, chances are that family is quite active. It could be at times quite raucous, at times probably a little bit out of control, except if you have perhaps a different family name than mine. So I only speak from my own experience. I had also many brothers, and it was a very active house. And of course, growing up in a large family, it's a wonderful blessing. And I understand this blessing even more today than I did when I was a young boy. When I was a young boy, the large family wasn't always, at that point, such a treasure. I remember even my own flesh would be embarrassed that I had so many brothers and sisters. We would be traveling to church, and in those days we didn't have these big white vans, but rather we had station wagons. There would be a couple of seats in them, and in the back of the car was basically just a wide open platform where we would sit, and we would put as many children in there as would fit. And on the way to church, it was many times that we would stop at a stoplight and cars would stop and they would look in the window and they would start counting. And there were those times I felt like ducking down, not to be counted and to be recognized from such a large family. My flesh is that way still today. It doesn't like to be singled out. It likes to be recognized and known. But yet now at this stage in life, I recognize much more the blessings that come from a large family. There are those unbelieving people in the world today whom we have some communications with from time to time. It could be neighbors. I remember one of our neighbors when we lived in Colorado. They had two children. And he had some handicap. And he would drive home from work and the garage door would go up and he would park his car in the garage and you wouldn't see him till the next morning. The only thing you could see in their home was this flickering of the television. And I thought many times as our grandchildren were there playing and our children came home to visit for the evening, we would sing songs and we would have haps over how rich our life was compared to those lives of this world. So in a large family, there are blessings, many blessings, too many to count. But then also we know there are trials that come in and with large families. But this is God's blessing. This is God's doing. The Bible says that God is the Lord of life and the Lord of death. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Joseph's family was, I think, similar. But with Joseph having those 10 older brothers, Joseph was born at a time when his father was a bit older. And Joseph was born to Rachel, the firstborn to Rachel. You remember how Jacob, when he was first sent to his father's homeland to find a wife, he went to his uncle Laban's home, and there he was given a wife. He had worked for 7 years to receive this wife, as he thought he was going to marry Rachel, but he ended up marrying Leah, Rachel's older sister. So then Jacob needed to work another 7 years to gain Rachel as his wife as well. And so those 10 older brothers of Joseph were born to Leah and to Leah's handmaid and also to Rachel's handmaid. So Joseph was the 11th son born. Because he was born in his father's old age, he was a very special son for his father. And I think, at least I remember in my childhood, growing up in a large family, you wonder that, what is my relationship with my parents? Do they love me? They must not love me as much as they love my brothers or my sisters. And so there would be this kind of sibling rivalry, if you will, among the children, trying to gain favor of mom and dad. And of course we all feel it is such a basic matter of life. We need to feel loved. That's without discussion. One of the most basic matters in life is we need love and protection. And so the children want and feel the need for that love of the parent, mother and father. And what is it mostly that they would request or need? It is simply this, that they are dearly loved in the family. And even despite the shortcomings and sins of the child, they are still loved. I wondered, because I was such a sinner, and I still am such a sinner, that who could love me for being so sinful? But this was God-given for my parents. They loved their children as you love yours. And so I'm sure Jacob loved all of his sons. But there was this special bond between Jacob and his son Joseph. And this created in that family this kind of hatred and jealousy and envy of the brothers towards Joseph. So when Joseph was 17, he was still a young man. He went out into the fields to see his brothers, to see what was happening there. And his brothers saw him coming. And you remember how they said, "Oh, here comes that dreamer." Joseph had been given a gift by God, and that he could interpret dreams. Not only did he have dreams, but he could interpret them. And this, if we remember, caused problems with his brothers. You remember of his dreams, how one of his dreams was that those sheaves of wheat would bow down and worship. There was those sheaves that Joseph said would one day bow down and worship me. This caused, again, additional hatred in the hearts of those brothers. And they sought to kill him. There was this kind of discussion among his brothers that what should we do with him? Some wanted to kill him. Others said, "No, that's not right." And so you remember how they ended up putting Joseph in that pit, that dry pit. And then ultimately he was sold to those merchants traveling down to Egypt. And his brothers went home with his coat of many colors. They had dipped it in goat's blood. And the brothers presented that to his father, and his father wept, fearing that Joseph had been killed. When Joseph ended up in Egypt, God protected Joseph, just as he protects us as his children. But I'm sure Joseph did not understand at this point in time of all of those things that would come to pass. Neither do we, brothers and sisters, understand in our lives the trials that God gives. The Bible says that no chastisement for the moment seemeth good. But it brings forth peaceable fruits of righteousness. So brothers and sisters, think back in your lives of those things that have transpired. I often myself think back to a time already over 30 years ago when our daughter Stephanie died. She was only 2 months old. Already at 2 months, she was different than my other children. Not too many of my children were patient, even as babies. But Stephanie was. She would wait for her meals. Mom would be busy preparing food for the family, and she would wake up, and most of our little ones would wake up, and they would need to eat immediately. But she would wait. It seemed that she had this kind of a pleasant, patient personality already as a two-month-old baby. And I even thought during her short life how she almost seemed to be too patient and too loving. And I worried that would she grow up strong enough in this sinful world? When she died at 2 months old, I wasn't ready either to see her go. Those of you who have experienced the life of the loss of children or loved ones, you know how death separates and it causes such pain and hurt. And often it takes many years, and sometimes never, for that pain to go away. But yet through these trials in life, God teaches us. I learned many things from that trial. I also made many promises. I had made this kind of promise that I was going to be a much more patient and forgiving father. I was going to teach my children differently than I had taught them before. I was going to spend copious amounts of time with them. I was going to always put them first. These were the kinds of promises I made, but how quickly those promises went by the wayside. I think we feel our own corruption. No matter what kind of promises we make, how quickly we break those promises. But through it all, I've also remembered how God said He won't forget or won't break His promises. This is one very big difference between God and us. God is faithful. He is long-suffering and patient. He is forgiving. Where, when we consider our own, often we are short and lacking. But this lesson that God gave is a lesson that I've learned. And I'm sure you, brothers and sisters, know also from your own life's experiences, whatever they may be, how God meant it for good. Joseph also learned this in the end. But what would it have been for Joseph when he was, as a 17-year-old boy, sold into slavery? You 17-year-old boys here, I'm sure, can't imagine what it would be like to be sold to some faraway country, to be taken from your home, away from your parents and your loved ones, to go live by yourself as a slave in some faraway land. But this is where Joseph went. When we read of Joseph's life, it speaks about how God was with Joseph. And God didn't abandon Joseph. And Joseph was a happy man, despite his trial and difficulties. And because of this, God blessed him in abundance. He was there living in the house of the Potiphar. Potiphar was a very important and a powerful man in that land of Egypt. He was very high up in the army. And this is the home in which Joseph went to live. And Joseph was put there as a slave to work, and God blessed his labors. It wasn't long before the fruit of Joseph's faith was evident. And Joseph gained favor with the Potiphar, and also beyond that, into the rulers of Egypt. It also is a lesson for us also in this life. When you boys and girls, when you go to work, it's important that you work not only for your employer. When somebody hires you to do whatever that job is, it is your responsibility and duty to serve him and to work for him to the best of your ability. But you're not just working for your employer. You're also working for God. And God can bless that. And we're seeing today in today's society where it seems like the work ethics are even those are becoming much poorer than they were generations ago. But the believing young are noticed and recognized. I have heard many of those kinds of reports from construction sites, from whatever industry you believing young are working, that person or that group is a different group of young. They work with joy, they're happy. And what is it that allows them to be this way? It is the fruit of your faith that is being seen and recognized. If you work hard, God promises to bless. He will bless you in abundance in this life. I have experienced this myself, how God has so perfectly taken care of us. For those of you who have large families, and when you compare how much the world says it costs to raise one child, it's impossible. I don't know what the number is now. If it's $1 million per child from 0 to 18, the statistics are mind-boggling. It would mean, if that was the case, that I would have had to make $17 million in my life. It hasn't happened. But God has blessed. God has multiplied His blessings. May it be that we would always remember that it is God who gives. And God can bless. One of our discussions that we had with those brothers from Finland was this, that they would like now to visit with North American believers, because in Finland they are experiencing such a downturn in economy, and there are so many programs for families there that because of the downturn in the economy and the high taxation, some of those programs need to be cut. And so the believing families are looking at ways to survive. But they said in the U.S., they have survived for many, many years. How has it gone there in the U.S.? How can we learn from each other, even in these practical ways, how we might raise our large families? May God continue to give us that kind of humility and that kind of humble heart, that it is God who blesses, even in these temporal ways, in all things. Just as easily as God can give, He can also take away. I didn't understand this as a boy. I remember Mom and Dad saying, "Don't waste your food because God will take it from us." And I thought, how is it possible that God with His big hand can come and take my food off my plate? I couldn't understand that as a boy. But now, I much more easily understand it because it is God who has blessed me with the ability to work, that we can earn money, and in this way we can buy food for our children. So it is God who gives in all these things. So when Joseph was there in Egypt, God blessed him. He blessed his work. And he rose to a very high level. But then it happened that this Potiphar's wife fell in love with Joseph. And he tempted Joseph, not once, but a number of times, that he would sleep with her. That he would fall into sin with her. And Joseph said, "How can I do this to my master? And also, how could I do this to my God?" God gave Joseph strength in that faraway land to battle against temptation. So when, brothers and sisters, we are also faced with temptation, as we are, it's all around us. You young people are inundated with temptations. I know what those temptations are. I've spoken with many of you, and you've lamented of how difficult this journey of faith can be. You've asked those questions, that how can you endure? It's in the same way that from generation to generation we have endured by the power of the gospel. Putting away sin and believing it forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, it strengthens us to take another step towards home. Joseph was also strengthened in that battle, but because of this rebuffing of this lady, she falsely accused him that she told her husband that Joseph tried to abuse me. And Joseph, because of this false accusation, was put into prison. Joseph was in prison for many, many years because of this. But there in prison, he also, with that God-given gift, he was able to help. Remember that baker and butler, who both had dreams. Joseph was able to interpret those dreams. For the baker, it meant, however, that in just a few days, he was going to lose his life. Both of them had been placed into prison because of their inadequacies as a performing in their work. And so when Joseph spoke to the baker and told him that you would die, it came to pass. But for the butler, he told the butler that with this dream that you had, you will be returned to your place of butlering. And it was so. But Joseph told this butler that before he left prison, that remember me here. It wasn't until many, many years later when the Pharaoh was having those kinds of dreams of the 7 years of good animals, the fat cows, and then there was 7 years where the cows were very skinny and the fat cows ate up the skinny cows and so on. And you remember those dreams that the Pharaoh had. The Pharaoh had called those wise men of his time to interpret those dreams, and none could. Then the butler remembered there was this man in prison, and so they called for Joseph. And it says that Joseph went and bathed and cleaned himself up and dressed well, and he went before the Pharaoh. And there he spoke to the Pharaoh of those 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That it would be important that you would save during those 7 years of plenty for those 7 years of famine. And it came to pass that it happened in this way. But because of Joseph's gift, even in that way, and the wisdom that God had gave, Joseph was elevated to the second in command in all of the land of Egypt, right below the Pharaoh. He was the one that was administering this plan of saving during those times of abundance. It says that the famine was so bad that all of the area, the whole land around them was in drought. There was nothing left to eat. It affected all the way to the land of Israel, where Joseph's family was living. And then you remember, of course, that story of when Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt to get food. I wonder what it was. And the Bible says that when those brothers came, they didn't know Joseph. They had no idea what had happened to Joseph. They didn't know that Joseph had been in prison there. They didn't know that Joseph had risen to that level of authority in the land of Egypt, that he was now the one that was doing the doling out of the food. But Joseph recognized his brothers. It was some 13 years later, 13 to 15 years from the time that Joseph had been placed into prison, that this time of when his brothers came to visit. So Joseph would have been at least 30 when his brothers came now to the land of Egypt. I can't imagine what Joseph's feelings would have been towards his brothers. What would you think? These 10 brothers of yours who had treated him very evil, didn't like him, were jealous of him. Some wanted him dead. I have thought many times that could I have been as loving and as forgiving as Joseph was? It must not be because God didn't give me that trial. In the Bible, it says that God gives us trials, but neither does He give us more trials than we can endure. Sometimes I think of the trials that you brothers and sisters face, and I say, how can they overcome such trials? I couldn't do it. But neither has God given me that trial that you've been given. With each trial comes God's blessing. He promises, because we are His own, to care for us and to strengthen us. The psalmist writes of these kinds of trials. When we look back on those trials, we can rejoice that God gave us strength to endure. So when Joseph saw his brothers, all of those emotions and feelings would have come flooding back. And he tested his brothers, didn't he? He tested them more than once. You remember how he loaded up their bags of grain, and he sent them back, and he put their money back in the sacks of grain. And when they were partway home, they opened their sacks up to see the grain, and they found their money in there. They became worried. Now what was going to happen? They tried to decide if they should go back and explain the mistake or just go on to their homeland. They chose to go on to their homeland, and they lived off that grain for a long time. It came then that Jacob was seeing his family again perish because of the famine, and he sent his sons back a second time. But they told him, we can't go back except that we would leave Benjamin there. And Benjamin was Joseph's younger brother, the last son born to Jacob. And Jacob had already lost one son. He was not willing to lose another. But as that famine went on, it was so that it happened, that those brothers again returned a second time to the land of Egypt. There's much more to that story, of course. But when they returned there, it was during this time that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Joseph then told his brothers to go and get their father and come back now, all of you, to Egypt. And so they all came and went. And there Jacob also was blessed. He found favor with the Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed the Pharaoh, it says in Scriptures. And Jacob's family was given a very special place there in the land of Egypt. But then shortly thereafter, Jacob died, the father of these sons. And the brothers now thought that all of this evil that we've done to Joseph, what's going to happen now that the father who had kind of been the mediator in all of these things, what's going to happen now that he died? And this is that portion of God's Word which we read. And we'll read this again. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him," or repay all the evil. You know, there's this kind of idea, even as boys, you know, vengeance. If someone does something to me, I'm going to do something back to him just as forcefully. I was that way as a boy, and still today my flesh is still that way. If someone does something to me, I get angry and I want to just pay back for that evil. So these brothers are thinking, you know, we did all this evil. What's Joseph going to think? And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying." So, again, they're calling on their father, although he's passed away. Dad said this. This is what has to happen. "So shall ye say to Joseph, forgive thee, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father." And what happened to Joseph? It says, "And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." And what was Joseph's response? It says, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we'll be thy servants." And so this dream of many years ago, one of those dreams that they had put Joseph, they had sold him for, this where they would bow down before Joseph. What do we see? These brothers now fell down before his face, and they said, "We would be thy servants." What did Joseph say unto them? "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God gave Joseph a heart of forgiveness. May He also give each of us a heart of forgiveness. Who is the greatest of sinners? The Apostle Paul says, "Of sinners, I am the chief." I think each one of us today would say that of sinners, I am the chief. Has anyone, brothers and sisters, ever told you, when you've gone to them and asked to be forgiven, said, "No, I can't, I won't forgive you"? Or has it been when you've children have gone to mom and dad and asked, because of some sin that has taken place, your conscience has become burdened and troubled, and you've gone to mom and dad or to a brother and sister and asked that, "Can I have my sins forgiven?" Haven't they so willingly and readily raised their weak hands and said that, "Dear child, uplift your heart to believe, your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, precious blood." Of course they have,
because they also understand and recognize how great a sinner they have been. You children are sinners, but so also have been mom and dad. This is God's kingdom. It is a kingdom of sinners. Where else do we find sick people taking care of sick ones, but in God's kingdom? Where else do we find sinners preaching the gospel to the sinners? It's not a wonder why Joseph wept. He would have found himself to be no better than his brothers. He would have felt his own sinful corruption. He would have needed, as we, to be in the same grace care as the Father. So today, brothers and sisters, we have been so abundantly forgiven. May we also all abundantly forgive our brothers and sisters. This is that which we need, don't we, to make it to heaven one day. Because we find we are those kinds of travelers who are weak and faulty. Uplift your hearts to believe, even today. Latest sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. You young people, you new children, battle against sin. Sin is an evil force and wants to take your faith from you. The enemy uses every imaginable ploy and temptation to take you away from this precious kingdom. But battle through the power of the gospel. It is your source of strength. And so at the end of this text, it says, as Joseph told his brothers, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. God has the same promise. He has promised to nourish the little ones. Even you little ones here today believing. Uplift your heart to believe. The sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. Can I also this morning hear that same gospel for my own sins and shortcomings? I want to believe with each of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us quieten our hearts in Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us. Give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.